Welcome back to Fish Burrito.
And we're back. Mm-hmm. Good to see you, Kyle.
Cheers. All right.
Cheers, buddy.
Let's get that out of the that out of the screen.
Right.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back.
We hope you are well.
Thank you for returning.
Yeah. Yeah.
We appreciate it. So we got a lot
more than you know.
So we got a lot planned for this episode, but before we get started, we got a lot planned for this episode, including a roundup of the Kissing Booth franchise.
Ooh, that is exciting. Wow.
Quite.
Woof.
But before we get started, we just wanted to address the tragedy in Lebanon.
The elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, as we're recording this, the explosions in Beirut just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to say our hearts go out to the citizens of Lebanon.
Yeah. To every lost soul, everyone that with a family member affected. Jesus, or just, you know, I mean, the devastation there is, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously unexpected.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I mean, we just hope, everyone, we are there in our prayers, our thoughts,
mm-hmm.
hearts go out to them. It's just, it's a tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine what they're going through right now out there, but I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to donate. I'm just going to stay informed and do my best to see what I can do to help. But like,
yeah,
I mean, I'm just, our thoughts go out to them.
So fucking wild.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I woke up, it was like, 5 in the morning, 5:50 or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, that's the first thing I see on Twitter, just this massive explosion. I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, there was like 5 different
people
videos.
Were saying it was like fireworks at first.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
It's like, that ain't fireworks, Chief.
No.
No.
That's like, dude, it like leveled the fucking city, man.
Yeah.
Dude, basically
some of the videos that people
area.
Posted, because there's so many angles of it, and like, it's just devastating. Today I'm like, I mean, now I can't stop thinking about it. So like, I'm like, man, what if something like that fucking happened, right down the street?
I know, in Los Angeles, dude.
Fuck, dude. I mean, just dependent on, I mean, geographically dependent on where you are, whether you're inside or what you call inside the hill.
Did you see the video of the woman taking like her wedding video, like right when the blast happened?
No.
Dude, the video's tough to watch, man.
Yeah, it's just
shit's leveled. But what was cool was to see like the entire, like all of these citizens coming together to clean up like immediately. It was really cool to see. Like there was like these really great photos of all these citizens just grabbing whatever they can, like brooms, dustpans, like trash cans, anything, just to clean the debris.
Yeah.
And there's already photos of like just clean streets of debris, like clean of debris.
That's
really cool.
Amazing. But those are real people.
Yeah.
These are people that are used to hardship.
All right, here we go. It's time.
Oh, no. We have to do this?
We've been hyping it up a bit. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, yeah.
We watched Kissing Booth 1 and 2.
I'm not proud of myself.
I mean, neither am I.
I don't know if I
started watching the first one, and I was like, why did they make us do this?
Yeah.
What is my problem?
Yeah, and I watched the first one before you did.
You did.
You mentioned it. So I was like, Cal wants me to watch this.
Yeah. And what's crazy is I watched the first one before and I was like, I was really fucking high. I was like too deep. I was too in deep. And I don't really remember much. But the one thing I do remember from watching it the first time while fucked up was that the hairstylist for that first movie was god awful.
Mm.
I was like an hour in just looking at the actors and I was like, whoever did their hair is dog shit.
I don't know if I ever even noticed that.
It's It's just her hair. Let me see if I can pull up a clip real quick.
I don't think. I mean, usually when I'm watching a movie, that's going to be the last thing I'm going to notice.
I mean, dude, I was.
I'm not an informed film person, though. You know,
I was high as fuck, dude. And
I just think if someone looks like shit, they're supposed to.
I was so checked out.
Yeah.
While fucked up, watching this movie because I was just high and I was like, man, this is garbage. But like.
Oh, watching
like their hair. Like their hair is okay, but the main character, man, like she doesn't look good. His hair,
how
even, his hair
dare
even
you
really bad.
Are you slandering someone right now?
I'm not slandering them.
Not slandering.
I'm slandering
that's not
whoever,
necessary.
Whoever like did the hair, and then the director was like, yeah, "It looks good." But like,
put
I mean,
her in
come
there.
On, send him out looking a little better.
Well, I think she's supposed to look kind of. Unkempt, you know, like
really like
a
bad.
Child.
Everyone
that's
else...
the weirdest part of this to me. We're watching statutory rape,
bro, dude. Lenny, don't even get me started with the first movie. All the shots of her, like,
just taking
underwear.
Her clothes off on the pool table.
Dude, the
and...
camera was getting real intimate with those
yeah.
shots. Like, just no face, just scanning the body, man.
Who
like...
cast this whole thing? Who produced this?
Let me show you the director, because
is he a creep?
Let's just say it's almost exactly what I expected.
Oh,
what was his name?
No.
Vince Marcello is the director of The Kissing Booth. And this is what he looks like.
Huh.
Yeah. This guy.
Look at the head on this guy.
Look at the forehead on this guy.
It's like a thumb.
Here's an even better photo. Here's an even better photo.
Oh
man.
Yo, it's like if the cone heads were actually real. He has got the longest skull on the planet. Look at his forehead.
It's just like,
I don't know if it's he's just got a massive head, and then his hairline starts, you know, halfway up here. Wow.
I mean, just
wow.
Did you watch the first one again, or did you just watch it the first time? You're like, I'm not fucking doing this again.
You think I would watch that again?
I was just wondering. Okay.
What kind of psycho do you think I am? You have to be.
Technically, I've seen it twice.
Yeah, but the first time didn't really count.
The first time, the only takeaway was
this is how
the hair
the first.
Bad.
Yeah, exactly. The first time, I know it. It didn't really count because you watched it again.
Yeah.
I got everything I needed out of that first. They said. Grinding coochies,
dude, that was the best line.
That was probably the only good line, and it was the worst line ever.
I wrote down
are you guys grinding coochies?
I wrote down every cringy line I heard in the movie.
Oh boy.
So
basically you wrote down the entire script verbatim.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. Okay. But
The film sexualizes a child, basically.
Yes, that's where it gets creepy.
Yeah.
Because it's not through...
The whole time, they're like trying to build up the... And I know that it's weirder that we watched it than it is for them to do that almost. But because, like, I guess the target audience was supposed to be people that would be...
No, because they... Okay,
similar in age. Why was Molly Ringwald in this?
Dude, she looked like she did not want to be in there. But let me go back to the creepy shots real quick.
Anymore.
The creepy shots, like, okay. I got confused for a sec because the rating on Netflix said TV-14. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But then there was a scene when everything was falling apart, like the best friend found out she was fucking the brother, and they said fuck like 4 times.
Is that not acceptable?
But it just felt weird because this is geared
towards... I
think
it depends on context. You can't be like, oh, I'm fucking your ass. But you can be like, ah,
he
fuck.
He said you're fucking my brother. Something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he said, this is fucked up. Or he would be like, I'm fucked up. But at one point he was like, you're fucking...
Oh, like the act of... Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Words
I could be
dumb.
Wrong. But it just...
I think it's weird.
This movie's so fucking silly.
I mean, you were halfway away from seeing like a nip of a 12-year-old.
It's,
you know, like
the first 10 minutes, like her pants rip like right through the butt crack.
Right. And she's wearing that short skirt.
Yeah.
She's got to like walk around in
and
it.
And then the camera shows like her under the skirt. And I'm like, oh,
you get some
undercusp.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird, man.
And the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, fuck, man. Like the FBI is about to storm my house right now. Like, because I don't know how old she was when they filmed this.
She just turned 21. The girl.
Jesus.
So she must have been
kind of fucking. She's going to look
kissing
like
Kissing Booth come out. Kissing Booth.
She's going to look like a 17-year-old for the next 20 minutes.
Kissing Booth 1 came out in 2018. So they filmed in 2017, which means.
Oh, she was, just turned 21.
Yeah. Like she
oh,
just
I thought
did,
you meant
like,
when they
I
were filming
few,
it.
No, like a few months ago.
Oh, well, then she
so
was.
So they were filming. So if it came
like
out in 2018.
17 or 18?
She was probably.
Right on the cusp.
Or 18, yeah.
Oof. Yeah, and see, that's gross, man. You can't do that. You can't do that to kids. How old was old numbnuts? Flynn.
Jacob Elordi, he's 23.
Good-looking kid. That is so strange that someone born in 97. When were you born?
96.
Ugh. God.
Damn, dude, I'm older than Jacob Elordi.
You didn't think you were?
No, I thought he was old.
You look older than him.
Fuck off.
But yes.
Anyway.
Woo! What else has he been in?
He's in Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
He's dating Zendaya now. But let me just tell you some of the cringy lines that I wrote down, because I just try to write down everything mm-hmm. from these movies mm-hmm. just so I can get a refresher, because mm-hmm. I wanted so badly to push all this out, but I was like, no, I can't for the pod.
I had to hold on to this.
Keep it in. Let me give you some of these cringy lines. There was a moment when what's her name? Elle. There was a moment when Elle interrupted Noah making out with a girl at a party.
And she had all the piercings.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I definitely fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like two characters in both movies that just had a bunch of piercings. And
right. Then the second one, it was the one with the, she clicked the announcer
button. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was like making out with her, and then Elle walked up to him and she was like, hey, I really need to talk to you. And then he was like, obviously annoyed.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't want to deal with this shit right now. But then she was like, no, it's like really serious. And then he told the girl to go away. And she was like, are you for serious?
Oh, no.
But she did have a good line, though. She said to Elle, she was like, Easy Bake Oven is downstairs, bitch. I was like, oh.
That's not even a good line. That is so
no, it was
fucking
terrible. It was cringy as hell.
So can I give you a quick for serious?
Yeah.
All right. One time. We're complete scumbags at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're in high school, and one of us is allegedly selling marijuana. And
Allegedly.
And the person who wants this marijuana is being just way too persistent and just not leaving us the fuck alone. So we get together what we can, and because he was being such a little bitch about it and bothering us, we gave him a little extra surprise. Now, one of my friends is a disgusting human being.
A little extra surprise.
Yeah, so he starts cutting his butt hairs, like the hairs on the inside of his butt cheeks, into a pile, and then he scoots them into the bag, right? Just a little bit, not a lot. This wasn't
what
like a
mound.
What does
this have to do with kissing?
Just wait. Not a whole lot, not a mound, but just enough. You know, where you're like, oh, that's disgusting.
That's gross.
So we give him the bag. He gets the bag. He calls us half an hour later, 45 minutes, and he goes, "Yo, what's up?" We're like, and that's one thing this guy was known for. It was he would do the affectation. Yeah. He would do that classic Malibu's Most Wanted minstrel show bullshit. And he's like, yo, what's up? We're like, I don't know. You called us. He's like, yo, are you for serious? There's like straight up human hairs in this bag. He said human hairs. And we're like, what? No, you're crazy. What are you talking about? I've never even, I don't even have a hair on my head. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Are you serious? It's like straight up human hairs in his bag. And he was from Virginia. Like, he's from where I'm from. And he had the just trying to give him the accent. A little bit of flavor, a little bit of sizzle on it. But yeah, the for serious, that rings
you
deep
know what?
In my
I
heart.
Appreciated that little
that rings
anecdote.
So
yeah.
I like a for serious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did not appreciate the kissing booth for serious.
Yeah, it was not a good
Are you for serious?
Serious? Are you for serious?
Why like, the piercings?
I don't know. It's just aggressive. Aggressive stereotypes.
They're like trying. They're like, all right, we need Noah to be making out with a girl that looks like she'll do anal on the first date.
We need to really show that Noah can get any girl.
He can get any girl. Obviously her. She'll put anything in her face. You know what I mean? Imagine what she'll do with the rest of her body.
I'm not going to disparage.
Hey, piercing people are piercing lives matter. And I'm 100% a part of all the freaks, kinks, let the flag fly. But, yeah, I mean, why did we need her of all the people? And then
know.
You got to make her but out then, to be an idiot.
But then the guy, then Noah, at one point, she was like, why do you like me? And then he says something. Oh, what did he say? He was like, man, every girl. Sorry, I'm so disgusted by this line. He was like, every girl falls to their knees. What did he say?
Oh,
I wrote
God.
It down. He was like, every girl just
Ugh.
Really wants me or some shit.
And
then,
you're the only
but
one.
You're the only one that doesn't. And I was like, Ugh. I was like, what? You're really just gonna throw that out there? Like, every girl wants me.
I only like you because you don't like me. You're like a cat.
It's like, bro, obviously rule number 9. Hello, come on. Rule number 9.
What was number 9?
Don't grind coochies with relatives.
I just needed you to say it.
What a great line. I swear if I catch you grinding coochies with my brother, it's over.
The worst part, not the worst part. There's so many things that are terrible about this. But one of the things that strikes me as odd is you're just watching like these privileged white people, not even the color of their skin. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's
they're just
privileged
it's their problems.
This bullshit. And people, for some reason, like watching that. I guess it's escapism, obviously. It's got to be some of that. But, like,
for me, man, like, there's...
Why?
They're just milling about. It's like there's no...
Nothing
There's
actually
no
happens.
Conflict.
Nothing actually happens.
Like for the first like half, because the first half is all leading up to the kissing booth, and then the kissing booth happens, and no mention of it ever again.
Right.
Just it happens.
Yeah.
There's no conflict at all. There's no story. It's just. It's
which
just
is
like,
fine.
You need to get Noah in the kissing booth.
Yeah.
But like, there's no stakes. There's no. I never really feel like, okay, but why do they need him to be in the kissing booth?
Right,
like, what's
the
fundraiser for?
Right.
Like, what's the big deal here?
Yeah.
Like, they said it's, like, for the dance, but...
It's like a fundraiser
but, like, what's the stakes? It's just...
Yeah, I don't remember that.
There's no
reason. It just happens, kind of.
They're just like, we need to have him at the kissing booth.
Yeah, so we have the coolest project or whatever.
There's no rhyme or reason to it, but then... It's almost like a whole different movie. She like makes out with him and then they're like secretly having sex for like 20 minutes of the movie. There's a montage of them going off and fucking.
Yeah.
Nothing happens there. And then all of a sudden, conflict. He finds out. It's over. Oh no, she has to make up with him. Oh no, but she also wants the older brother. Oh no.
Mm.
It's like there's no...
Yeah.
Nothing happens for like 45 minutes. And after 45 minutes, I was like, okay, now what? But then there was like an hour left of the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're just now getting to a central conflict here.
That's interesting.
It was really bad. It's so bad. But this was the movie that was like bad and entertaining.
Yes. I would give it that because it was so bad that I was laughing a lot.
It's so funny.
And like I'd look over at Heather and be like, is this actually happening? And she was so mad. She was like, I'm furious right now, and I don't know if you should be doing that. I feel like Cal is punking you.
Yeah, dude.
Remy, I was like, no, out. He wanted me to watch it.
Remy checked out. She was just,
she was like, this isn't, and nothing's worth it. Quit the podcast. Like, we don't ever need to, this doesn't need to happen.
Oh man, it was, it,
at least we painful. Had, there was a little back and forth. There was some fun things that happened in it that you could make fun of, but that second one.
But let's get through a couple more things of the first one real quick, because I just wanted to.
Yeah.
Did you remember that her mom died?
Yes.
I forgot. There was a point in the movie where she like brought up her mom again.
Yeah.
Cause she wanted to like be herself or some shit.
She's like, I'm not going to be like my mom. I'm not going to be dead.
No, she was like, I want to go get what I want, and I'm not going to listen to my best friend. And she was like, I got to make my mom proud. And then they showed the shot of her like in the hospital with her mom. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's right. The mom's dead. The mom's fucking dead. Because the montage at the beginning was all just like all of her life. It's like fun montage. And then my mom gets sick. Fun montage.
You're right.
My mom's in the hospital.
You're right.
Fun montage. I'm at my mom's grave.
Right up front. Right up front. Yeah.
Just stark cut to, I visit my dead mom.
Right.
But then we make pretzels with my fucking best friend or some shit.
Yeah. She's like, we have all these cool rules. We do this. Yeah, my mom died.
All these cool rules.
Yeah, my mom died. And you're like, oh.
You're like,
that was the
terrible.
That was the last time I cried. That was the last time I promised someone anything, was when I told my mom I'd go to UC Berkeley.
And then Lee and I both drank syrup.
Yeah, and then we like did cute montage. Look at us playing DDR together because we're a bunch of wacky kids.
And then my mom got cancer.
And you're just like, what the fuck? Like,
this is a roller coaster.
And it's like, it's funny because emotionally, it almost like tries to equate wacky DDR to my mom's dead, you know, it's toting the same line. It's like, it never really gets above here, you know. It's like, look how cool this is, almost as bad as this is. Look how cool this is. This is equally as important.
This is very sad, but then we have happy times. Mom dies.
Yeah, but nothing really gets above here, you know.
Yeah.
It's like they don't lure you in to feeling like emotionally attached to the mom. So it's just like, hey, look, I was a little girl and like my mom's best friends with my best friend's mom.
My mom's friends with Molly Ringwald.
Oh my God, look how cute
they
are.
Did not want to be here.
And then look, now she's dead. But then we went and played DDR and had ice creams.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just keep thinking of terrible shit in this movie. Okay,
yeah.
Remember when he was like really mad at her and he wouldn't talk to her?
Who was?
Lee was like really mad at his best friend, L.
Okay, yeah,
because, you know, and then he wouldn't talk to her for like 10 minutes in the movie.
Oh.
And then she was like, I forgot rule number 5. I can't remember the
rule. I can
rule
give
numbers.
You ice cream and you can't be mad at
yeah,
me.
And yeah, and then he looked at the ice cream and he threw it away and she was like,
oh my God, he broke the rule. I'm so sad. Oh no, what do I do?
He broke the rule. And I remember
you broke the rule. You were bumping coochies.
You broke rule number 9.
Yeah, you bumped coochies. No ice cream.
Which rule number 9 came after the ice cream rule.
Yeah.
So they did the ice cream rule, and then at one point she
you would
like,
think,
looked
yeah, you're
butt.
Like you had already made someone upset, so you came up with rule 5. Her dad was the creepiest character in the entire show by far.
He was the absent father. He just like stood around. He was like,
freaked me out the entire time.
Really?
Yeah, there was something about him. I was like, ugh. This guy just, he's got a weird look to him.
He didn't even bother me at all.
I feel like he was the Golden State Killer. Like
Zodiac.
Like
he has a dark past.
Yeah,
like her mom didn't die of cancer.
He killed her. Oh no, she liked Flynn too.
Noah Flynn was getting too hot. Too hot.
I like
to
the way
handle.
You're looking at that child. Yeah.
Okay. So first one ends all well and good. They ride on the motorcycle together and it's like,
she's
great.
Got like the weirdest helmet you've ever seen.
Dude, it's so goofy. Another thing, Lee Flynn, the younger brother, like his girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
no fucking personality.
Dude, Lee's girlfriend was 42 years old when they filmed this movie. That is an adult woman with a mortgage. Yeah, yeah. She's a school teacher who acts on her summer breaks, and she's got to get back to school and disinfect everything in sight.
Speaking of no personality, let's talk about every single character in the second movie.
A lot of return appearances, right?
I'm mostly speaking
Marco?
Marco is...
Was it Marco?
Yeah, Marco. Okay.
Dude, he does this one look in the movies.
You mean the same look? There's only one look. There's only one look.
Well, it's like he does it, but he like tilts his chin in different directions. Like, this is the down, right?
Dude, yeah, he does move his head.
And then this is the down look. And then he does a backflip.
He does... Dude, he does do a backflip.
He sings... He plays,
but it was a stunt
guitar.
Double. Can we just address that right now? That
wasn't.
Was for sure a stunt double.
He's like Jackie Chan,
dude. They did not the lighting.
The MVP.
The lighting for that scene where they do all the flips and shit. They make it very apparent that it is not them.
It doesn't even make any fucking sense. If you're gonna do the most impressive thing you're gonna do in the dance, you keep the fucking lights on. They turn all the lights off and he starts doing flips and shit.
And then they put this bright ass light on the girl when she does the twists in the
right.
air. You can't even see her, make out her face.
No.
So it's like, okay, that's not her.
All right, so we're gonna take it from the top.
Yeah. So
lead me into the movie. Let's do this.
So we're getting into the second movie now. We were just talking about it for a bit before I had to cut camera and restart, but we were just talking about how boring it is.
It's so bad.
And you couldn't get through it.
It's like what you said with the first one where there's no real, like, there's nothing pushing. There's no driving, like, circumstance
even,
or...
I wouldn't say that.
What's the word I'm looking for?
I would say
there's no stakes. There's no stakes, though.
There is no stakes.
Yeah.
Except that she wants to go to college.
Okay. Actually, there are stakes, but they don't mean anything to the average human being. She's like, oh, I got to choose between UC Berkeley or going to Harvard, but I don't have enough money to go to Harvard.
We're never really given the information well enough to understand that, A, she's poor.
And she's not. B,
she needs money to go to college.
Right.
Until they throw one scene in where he's like, I mean, you're going to need financial aid. But like, we're never really
shown her
circumstances.
Right. Well, she goes to a private school. She's got a baller ass house that no one can afford in California.
Well, no, the Flynn family has the really nice house.
But she has a baller-ass house.
We're not even really showing her.
No, it's like a log cabin, two-story. Yeah. She's got a view. If you're paying attention to the house at all, you're like...
Which most viewers are not going to pay attention to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they didn't care.
Right. And like the one time you find out that she's not bawling is she's... talking to her dad, and he's like crunching numbers real quick on his laptop.
He's just like, and she's like,
he doesn't even do this. He just
also
slaps the keyboard, and he's like, you're gonna need financial aid and a lot of help.
Also, $50,000 covers like half a year at Harvard.
I was like, Heather asked me, she was like, how much do you think it would be for like a year at Harvard? I was like, way more.
Way.
Because like, all right, and this, 50, you could probably 000. Look this up, but I was thinking it's probably like 76 to 86.
Because cost of attendance, not tuition, cost of attendance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Way more.
Yeah, I'm
cost
thinking
of attendance.
I was thinking $76,000 to $86,000 a year.
Cost of attendance at Harvard. Average cost, they say after aid on Google. After aid, $16,000.
Right.
$73,000 a year.
Yeah.
Cost of attendance at Harvard.
I figured it was 76 to 86. But it's, you get a degree from Harvard and you're pretty much going to have an annual income somewhere around $250,000 to... Eventually, not like right out of the gate.
Not right out of the gate.
But you're gonna be a millionaire one day,
mm-hmm.
hopefully.
depending on what you do with what
exactly, exactly. But like that's the point. That's why you put the money up.
But
she's looking at Harvard. UC Berkeley? That ain't cheap either.
No. I don't even know if they have in-state tuition. Like,
is it?
They have in-state? I mean, it's University of California, so yeah, they have to have
in-state. Yeah, so it's in-state. Yeah. And she, you know, but she's like, oh, well, I might want to go get some.
But $50,000 still won't even cover it.
No. No.
Not 4 years.
One time.
I remember, dude, it's like a 2-hour, 15-minute movie. And we got through like 50 minutes, and I was like, Jesus Christ, it's we have over an hour left, and it's like they don't even really talk about a kissing
booth. They also shoved the kissing booth thing in there. They just rammed it in there.
They really did.
So much so that even the characters, when they wrote it in, they're caught off guard by the fact that the kissing booth is still a thing.
Yeah, they were like, oh my God, we have to pitch the kissing booth again. And then they don't prep for a thing.
One of the greatest convenient writing moments in the movie. Everyone's like, all right, kissing booth is through, we're good.
They were like, kissing booth was such a hit last year, we're doing it again. And we're like,
who's gonna be in it? And then they don't even have to say who's gonna be in it. They get to build on the suspense that shouldn't have been there in the first place, and they're like, it's a surprise.
But the second one, they were like, there's a new hot guy at school, and his name's Marco.
Right.
And then one of the most drawn out, terrible scenes in the movie is when the intercom button was hit. And for like 5 minutes, I don't even think I'm exaggerating here. 5 minutes of the movie was her raving about how hot this guy's body is.
And that's not even like at any point in time. That's not a thing that her character does.
That's no.
It's such a complete departure from who she is.
Completely.
Yeah.
And she has a boyfriend at Harvard.
Right, right. Who was the ex hottest guy at the school. And she's like, oh, abs. I've never even been into butts, but now I am. Oh, do I lick it? Do I put my face in it? Do I bop it?
I mean, what sucks is that I feel like she had to perform all those lines. Because here's the thing that I will say about the main girl in this movie.
Yeah.
She had to act in front of this Marco guy who fucking blank as hell the whole movie. Like, so I mean, his attraction, his attractiveness, good looking
dude,
really fucking carried everything.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
the only thing he had going for him. But that's all they gave him.
So fucking stale, man.
Could you imagine showing up to the biggest game of your life, whatever sport it is?
Yeah.
Right. And then you're like, they're like, this is a big one, man. We just gotta like, we gotta really fucking come with our commitment. We gotta really work hard. And then you see the opposite team and they're all like literally like half your size. And like, they've got like half an arm and a hoof.
There's no effort. Yeah.
You're just like, wait, am I really supposed to shit on these people like that? They're like, we want you to go out there and fucking dunk it on them. And you're like, man, that kid can't walk on his own volition. And they're like, go out there and give him hell. That's what we're asking these people to do.
I know.
They weren't given any. There was no stakes for them. The money was there.
The money was there. But all he had to do was be hot. But like it's a testament to Joey King's performance, honestly. Because she,
it was all bad.
She acted she acted the hell out of her scenes in front of basically a wall that delivered lines in a robot voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think she did a pretty good job when it was needed.
Yeah.
Like, because, dude, she's like an Emmy winner. Did you know that?
What?
She starred in a movie called, you might have heard of this. Joey King. Oh, fuck. Remy was telling me about it, actually. Because I've never heard of this movie.
Remy doesn't even like movies.
It's called The Act. It's about
100%
Gypsy Blanchard.
I saw this.
Joey, the star of Kissing Booth, is the star of this series.
Right.
Won Emmys for that shit.
Yeah, but it's fucked up. That show's fucked up.
I haven't watched it, but
I remember kind of getting
up.
Yeah, I kind of. Yeah. I've gotten a little lit a couple of times and tried to watch it, and I was like, no, I'll put it on something funny.
But yeah, she's apparently pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm not even going to talk about it. We'll watch that next.
But like the first movie, obviously she has no experience. She was terrible.
Yeah.
She delivered shit so badly. Second movie.
Well, and she's playing a totally, because she was younger in the other shit.
Yes.
So she's playing a completely different, now she's the hot girl. She's got to
like
play.
Popular. Yeah. She's like, but she's acting in front of just, dude, this guy's so fucking boring. And I wanted to bring up one thing.
Are you kidding me? Don't you think even. He's boring?
He plays guitar.
He plays guitar, bro.
Dude, okay.
He sings classics. Scene, he sings bangers, dude.
There was a scene where he was playing guitar and singing for like a dance, like the homecoming dance or some shit where they were doing.
Yeah.
And
I like
he
when
couldn't
he was
even
doing...
make that exciting.
Yeah,
he couldn't even sing in
well,
an exciting
way. That's a problem
way,
with like hot people sometimes, unless they've got like a dark past.
I mean, I just genuinely
maybe
don't
he just
think...
hasn't been able to really like have enough experience acting to where he's gotten to that dark place, you know, where he can actually give some life to it. But
here's what's fucked up about it: He was handed this role because he's hot.
Fuck yeah!
I mean, and not gonna lie, he looks a lot like the first guy.
No, he doesn't.
He kind of does.
No, he doesn't.
He kind of does. When they had the scene where they were about to like, they were squaring up against each other, I was like, they look kind of similar.
Nah.
They look kind of similar.
No.
Dude, I think for me, it's the jawline. The jaw.
I see one white dude and I see one brown dude.
But the face structure is very similar. The hair, not similar.
Yeah.
But
I see corn-fed like white and I see tortilla-fed brown is what I see. I see very different
mean,
things.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I all right, yeah.
But maybe, I mean, they're both, well, the one dude, the songs that
also,
they chose
the guy,
to have him sing and shit, I was just like, what is happening?
And he looks
right
like,
now?
He looks straight up 25 years old.
Dude, Lee's girlfriend is 42. All right, I left
so
off
you left
at...
Off.
Thanksgiving dinner.
So you saw
everything kind of blows up.
Everything blows up.
Like she runs away. The annoying lame girlfriend that contributes nothing ever.
Yeah.
Then she's like, "Oh, I found your earring under his bed."
Mm-hmm.
And then like the dad, the creepy dad's just like,
"Dude, there was this really funny moment where she walks away and the dad just kind of looks like, hey." Where are you going?
He's like, who's that? Like, who
where
is that?
Where are you going? Like, and it's like, did you not see what just played out in front of you?
You were here the whole time. Idiot. Yeah, he's like he's too up on the pills at
dude,
that
just
point.
Absent father to a T. But anyway, after that.
Yeah.
So, oh, fuck. So the kissing booth happens. She has to go and do the kissing booth.
Ah.
And they're like, fuck, because at this point I kind of checked out. I was like, I don't like this anymore. I'm kind of bored. Mm. But I do remember the big moments. So Lee gets blindfolded and put in the kissing booth, and then they blindfold his girlfriend and send her out in front of him. So they blindfold it. They're both blindfolded and they make out. And then he's like, "I missed you so much," and she's like, "I missed you so much," and I'm like, "I don't care." And then they're back together. So that's all good.
Yeah.
And then, what's her face? And then they cut to the airport. So Noah and the girl Chloe. They're both at the airport.
That bitch.
No, they're at the bar. They're at a bar, and she.
He's using his fake ID.
Did you see the bar scene?
The original.
Did that happen?
The first bar scene. Yeah.
No, the bar scene after where they're playing pool, and she's like,
"No."
Okay. So this is the part that kind of weirds me out. So Noah and Chloe are playing pool at a bar, and he's like, I mean, I can't believe she thinks I'm cheating on her or something. I don't remember. And then Chloe, all I remember was this line from Chloe where she's like, you know, I could never resist the charms of Noah Flynn. And I'm like, okay, so they were never interested in each other. But she said, I've always been able to resist the charms of Noah Flynn. So does that mean she's always been resistant of his charms. So she's never been into him.
Okay.
But does that mean that he's tried to charm her?
But also, why is she there?
So we'll get to that. We'll get to that because they don't explain that until the very end. So they.
What is the point?
So then after that, the kissing booth happens, and then Elle is up on the kissing booth, and she's blindfolded. Mm-hmm. Marco pays for a ticket to kiss her, and then she like takes off her blindfold. She sees it's him, and she has this realization. She's like, actually, I want what I want, and that's Noah. But this happens after we're at the airport and Noah and Chloe are at the airport, and he's scrolling through photos of him and Elle. He's just like miserable. He's like looking at photos of her, and Chloe's looking at him, and she's like, just admit you love her. Just admit you love her. And he's like, I really do think I love her. And the whole, does this not make you feel a little off? That all of a sudden, wait, so he does actually love her.
I hate this.
So she confesses her
love for
him.
I feel like he never didn't love her then.
But what's with all of the weird shit, though? It like they really bad he brings
writing.
Her to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Bad writing.
It's just bad.
He could have literally it's just bad. Said, but why was the earring there, Cal?
We'll get to that.
God damn it.
So she...
This
so
is just
Elle
like the movie. I just wanted it to end.
No, Elle runs to the airport and she's like, where's Noah? And she runs up. She sees Chloe and Chloe's like, he went to the kissing booth. And she was like, what? and so she texts Noah and she's like, I'm at the airport. And he's like, I'm at the kissing booth. Like in all caps, just kissing booth. And she's like, what? And I'm like... What?
Yeah, what is happening?
You were at the airport.
That's where
waiting
I am right
to
now.
Leave.
I'm like, what?
And then he texts her and he's like, meet me at the usual
Why
place.
Why did he get a night flight?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Logistically, none of this is working out.
And before Elle leaves, Chloe's like, do you want to know why he brought me to Thanksgiving? And she was like, of course. And she's like, he just wanted us to become friends. And then that was the moment where I was like, this movie is so fucking bad.
I mean, this is just, I don't know if this
oh,
is just my
bar,
perspective.
At the bar, that's where you find out about the earring. At yeah. the bar, he yeah. was like, why was your earring under my bed? And she was like, well, while you were gone, I just kind of slept there.
I was in there jibbling me old mix up, giving it yeah. the old dirty DJ, if you know what I mean. A little in, out, in, out.
But basically, she just says, I slept in your bed, and I left an earring there by mistake. And he was like, oh, this is fucked up so much, man.
Rattling around on me old beatbox.
And
so, yeah, she slept
so
in his bed.
He
was gone.
He brought her to Thanksgiving to make them friends. Which
and that is...
Why?
That's how you know, like, this guy's had that a girlfriend.
It was right then when she was like, he wanted us to become friends where I was like, I'm done. I hate this. I hate this movie. It's
this
so
how you know
stupid.
You've got a real girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out there. If she's like a pit bull, she's great with other dogs. No, she's great with people, other people. Terrible with other dogs. Now, what that means
what
is
where is right, where are we going?
Stay with me.
This?
Stay with me.
Okay, I'm trying to.
My girlfriend. Great with all the boys.
Okay.
Boys are around. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Girls are around. Oh, what? You want to fuck her? You want to fuck her?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but...
That's... So, this guy has had one girlfriend that we know yeah. of. That's...
But he lies.
He's not used to it. He's like, oh, yeah, no, it's cool. Like, you guys will be friends if I bring you around. No, dummy.
No.
That's not how any girl has ever felt. You flew this bitch back to LA from Boston? What girl is ever going to think, oh, they're just friends. He wants me to be friends with
also,
her.
Also, why lie about hanging out with her if you've never been romantically interested in her?
They're going to concerts.
Why not
and he
immediately
doesn't say anything.
Address it?
Yeah.
Because you know she's a high schooler. Of right. course she's going to think he's fucking a college girl. What in his mind? He's at Harvard.
And she's like a hot. She's a hot British chick too.
Yeah.
I mean, duh.
He's just an idiot. And the movie writing is dumb.
No, it's all it's one of those. Oh God, it's the most convenient style of writing. You just basically paint yourself into a corner and then conveniently like erase the edges and just work through that. And then you just kind of keep working your way around and you're like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that gets some interest. And then you go here and then you go here and then you come back. And then at the end, you're like, oh, it's okay. Everything's fine.
That's
I just
really
wanted her to be friends with us, babe. Yeah.
So then they make up.
Not Elle, that's not possible too, by the way.
What?
That's impossible.
What all this panning out.
There is
the way
no
it does?
Girl on the planet that would be like, babe, you're right. We should just be friends.
We should just be friends.
We're the best.
You mean Chloe and Noah?
No, I mean like Chloe and Elle. There's no girl that's going to go through that level of like.
But Chloe says she's
psychotic thinking.
The charm of Noah Flynn.
I don't care what accent you throw at it.
So
there's no way in hell your girl is ever going to be friends with that bitch. She might pretend she is, keep her at arm's length so she knows where she is at all times.
I mean, I don't.
But after you put her through that shit. You brought her to Thanksgiving?
Yeah, a model that goes to Harvard and has a British accent.
Are you fucking high? You brought this bitch? You brought her home?
You couldn't have brought one of the boys?
You flew her out here? Are you high?
Why couldn't you bring one of the boys?
Bring one of the boys. I'll be friends with all your boys. That's what I say. They're like pit bulls, bro. That's what I'm saying. Listen. Trust me, this analogy, it plays.
They do not play well with each other.
They love people.
I see.
And
yes.
For lack of a better term, but I've just always noticed how animalistic the old lady gets around.
I mean, it's almost just
fight innate. I'll fucking fight a bitch. Are you looking at me? You looking at me? I'm like, I'm the least attractive person within a 14-mile radius right now. And you think any of these girls are looking at me? She's just like foaming.
Dude,
at me.
It's like,
I will fight these bitches.
It's like it's just like an instinct.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
I got to protect what's
mine.
I'm
like, Gus,
you know?
Chill out. And he's like, just barking at a dog across the street.
I don't want to sound like a simp, but I understand the behavior.
Yeah.
Of just like, you know, just like immediately fearing that you're going to lose something that you love.
Right. But I also feel like as a human being, we should be able to trust our human being to have our best interest in mind.
Yeah. But it was, for me, it was Noah, A, lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
B.
Creepy.
B. Okay. When he greets
Terrible
her at the
writing.
Dinner table.
Right.
He's like almost grabbing her ass. And he's like, you look beautiful.
And he like kisses.
And you're like.
I've been getting loose on my.
You're saying there's nothing sexual going on here. When he's
check
like,
out my fake ID.
And he's just
loose,
staring at her the
kiss.
Whole time.
Yeah.
While she's telling her stories, just right. Like enamored by it.
Oh my God, a hippopotamus ate a boat. Oh my God, that's so crazy. You're crazy.
It's just, it. And then, okay, the very end.
Yeah.
So she applied to both Berkeley and Harvard.
Oh, this is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and she revised her whole 5-year essay bullshit. She's like,
because
I don't
it's
want
not
to get into this.
We don't
this
want
is
the perfect answer.
Shit.
We
want
to know who you are.
But this is the cringiest shit of the whole thing. She doesn't even say who she is. She says, I want to have, it's so bad. She's like, I want to have the laugh of Lee. I want to have the smile of Noah. I want to have the beauty of Chloe. I want to have
the
forgiveness of I can't remember, but
she
goes
brings
down
that
list.
Bitch up in her college essay.
She goes down this list of things of traits from
I
her
have
friends that
boring,
she wants to have.
Non like zero appeal of Lee's girlfriend because I can't think of her name.
Yeah. And you're watching this montage of these these like people from the schools like reading the letter and they're just like, I'm inspired by this. And it's like life changing to them. This is a terrible essay.
Yeah.
That she
think about the essays that those people would get. These are college admissions.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got, like, heart-wrenching, fucking genius level talent. Like, stories of every fucking, like, realm, all possibilities, so many things, like,
so
depravity,
much.
Fucking abject
so many
poverty.
Inspiring stories.
So many tales
and then
of
to
triumph.
Hear this girl that's just like,
she's like, oh my
god, I know what I want,
you know,
so
like,
I just want to have the laugh of my best friend.
I had one hot, like, boyfriend.
Fucking kidding me. It's so
that's
bad.
That's what it boils down to.
So you know how there's that conflict where it's like, rule number 12, go to the school your bestie goes to.
Yeah.
So the very end, they graduate high school and the best friend, he gets into Berkeley. And he's like, well, what about you? Did you get in? And she's like, I got waitlisted to both Harvard and Berkeley. And they're like, oh, well, hopefully, you know, you'll get in. And then you find out she got accepted to both.
Wow. She goes to the University of Phoenix.
And then there's one more thing that they throw at you at the end. Mark, like, they're having their whole kumbaya moment at the end. She's like, I got waitlisted. So she's lying to her friends. And then you got Marco in the background with his boys. And he's just like staring at her. Just like, and one of his boys, he's like, come on, bro, just forget about it. Like, she's not worth it.
She's a loser, bro.
She's not worth it. And then the boy leaves and Marco just stares at her again. And he's like, yeah, she is. And you're like,
whoa.
and then that's it.
Years later, he shows up dressed as a FedEx guy, kills her family.
It's like
knowing that she's not home.
It's like they got to set up the third movie.
Marco's going to show up. It's like Daddy's Home kind of scenario.
It's like they're at Thanksgiving and Marco rolls up. Here for my girlfriend.
He's got a bigger bike. He's like, tighter jeans.
He's got like a Harley Davidson. reaching 3 feet away from
him. You're going to love me. I promise.
I'm going to play guitar for you outside your house and serenade you.
Is it true? It's what I like about you. Yeah, it's so bad. They even gave him like shitty songs to sing. They gave him very little to work with.
But yeah, at the end of the day, we've talked,
give him a little
backstory. We talked about these movies for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
These movies are exhausting.
So as far as...
Hopefully you won't listen to an hour of this.
Hopefully,
I'll cut it down to hopefully like 30 to 45 minutes of this shit.
Well, I'm just hoping that the world has had the same feelings about this movie that we have. I mean, obviously ours are coming from a hypercritical point of view. We weren't huge fans, but it gave us enough entertainment that we were able to talk about it this long. We had a fucking conversation. So hopefully, you know,
I will say, though,
the response is, you know, everyone else felt some type of way and they want to chime in.
Yeah. I will say, though, I mean,
these movies were dog shit, by the way.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Like, this is clown. Like, purebred clown.
Oh god. Conclusion?
Yeah.
Bad movies.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to talk to you personally for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you felt about this whole
experiment.
What
we should do?
But
Discord, when the third one comes out, we watch it.
Shit.
We open it up and we just let everyone watch it with us.
Yeah. I'm down.
That would be fucking dope.
Shit on it the whole time.
Well, no, we're just going to watch it and enjoy it
and then talk about it.
Yes.
So if you're into that, let us know. But I just wanted to say one thing to you from one friend to another, like, I'm sorry I made you do this. If you don't like talking about bad movies, we don't have to do this again. Just for me, like, I genuinely enjoy, like, talking about bad movies because it's just fun. It's fun to, like,
100%
break down. Okay, why do we not like this so much?
Right.
Because, I mean, this is just my standpoint. It's like, it's easy to say that movie sucks, but it's more fun for me to be like, okay, why? Why is it so bad?
Yeah. No, I agree.
to go back to Ratatouille, the critic has this whole epiphany moment. And he's like, you know, it's always fun to write bad reviews and it's always fun to read bad reviews. Mm. And I took that and I was like, yes, it's mm-hmm. very fun. Mm-hmm. And I love doing it.
Yeah.
And he was like, but it's even more challenging to write a good review. And I was like, well, yeah, but bad reviews are more fun. So
Patton Oswalt. Dope.
Dope. But Kissing Booth, not dope.
Not dope. Not good. What I would say is typically with a movie, even good movies, like if something's actually got me hypnotized, like you think about when you're trying to capture someone's attention, you're really trying to, like Stephen King talked about this in On Writing. You're like having like a telepathic conversation with that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're like leading them along the way. It's like stand up. You're like trying to get someone to give up their mind to you yeah. to go on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
So like with good movies, you know, like I'm not as hyper vigilant as I was with Kissing Booth.
Yeah.
I was picking this bitch apart the entire way. I was seeing every fucking wart, every yeah. hair out of place. You know, I was just like, I was really noticing things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to shit on something than it is to truly appreciate something.
I know.
Maybe I should be a critic, but I'm not going to be. But no, like I would rather talk about bad movies because like even in that, there was stuff that like, you know, like it brought me more entertainment than most good movies that I just kind of glaze over and go, oh, that was fun at the end of it, you know? And then I'm like, yeah. I didn't really find anything wrong with that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything's meant for entertainment. Yeah. However you get it is kind of up to you.
Because sometimes when you're lost in enjoying a movie, you finish the movie and you're like, well, wait, like what did I like about it? Cause it's right. so much fun, but right. that's almost a testament to the storytelling. Cause you just
they
get
took
lost
you on the
it.
Ride and you're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's why I enjoy like multiple viewings because you 100%. Can throw that away and just be like, okay, let's break it down. Why do I like this?
Yeah.
So for me, what makes a movie great for me is for when I can rewatch it and still enjoy it mm-hmm. by just breaking down shit that I love.
Yeah. Yeah.
But man,
I don't feel like this is so going to be one of those movies.
It's so no, I'm never think, watching Kissing yeah, Booth.
I don't
ever
think
again.
I could watch this again and be like, you know what? Second time.
No,
I think it's a cult classic.
No, if yeah. you can, dude, I
Grandma's
show you,
Boy
I'm gonna
is
show
a cult
you.
Classic. You know, you watch that the second time and you start noticing all the great, I loved it the first time, but you start noticing all the jokes and, you know, all the little subtle things in movies like that. And yeah. you're like, oh my God, that movie's fucking amazing.
I mean, I'm going to show you my stream of conscience later when watching The Kissing Booth. And if I would rather sit down and write notes while watching a movie, yeah. I'm not interested and I don't like it. And I'm 100%. Never going to watch it again.
That's how I watched Too Hot to Handle, which we also talked about.
Dude. Yeah.
yeah. I was just, I had my like book out and I was just like writing terrible things about each person the entire time. I was like,
but it's still really entertaining to just be like, wow, these people are so terrible.
It's called entertainment for a reason. There is no one way that you're supposed to absorb media.
Yeah.
However you want to do it, fucking do it. Yeah. It's there for a reason.
And also one more thing.
Yeah.
If you like The Kissing Booth, if you like the second one,
absolutely.
We're not going to judge you.
No.
If you like
no.
it, I mean, we don't care. That's awesome.
Absolutely
if you
not.
Like it.
I mean, I have a lot of questions about you as a person, and I'd like to get to know you better, but I don't care.
But don't let us think that you're wrong for liking a thing.
Dude, people.
This is just us having fun shitting on a movie.
Yeah, people hang themselves from the ceiling through their skin, hooks in their skin, as a fun thing to do. You liking Kissing
Where
Booth?
Where the fuck did this come from?
I'm just saying, you liking Kissing Booth.
You know, people really enjoy country music.
Who?
And people like Kissing Booth. And it's, I mean,
they're very similar.
Not very far off in the similarities here.
I mean,
you like what you like.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say you're wrong.
If you've never rhymed stuck with truck, are we even friends? Could we ever have a conversation?
Or
do
beer,
we? Yeah.
With front porch.
Okay.
Hello?
Or beer with you're not welcome here. Or yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm really sorry that I have to go back to this.
Oh.
But I just wanted to say one more thing about the second kissing booth. Okay.
Yeah.
There's one character. There's one like story arc that I think had more personality and charm than the whole movie. And that is the story of the gay couple that end up becoming a gay couple.
Oh, it came out of nowhere.
It was awesome.
They're on the beach.
They're on the beach.
Yeah.
The guy just pouring out all of his feelings for this
right.
dude had more personality. And I was invested in this after that
third one's about.
Than anything else
yeah.
in that movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had to bring one positive thing.
No, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
Genuinely great.
I remember watching that and I was like, wow, this is actually the first back and forth where people are committed or actually having
yeah.
like a conversation.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah. yeah.
And then the end they're together. Or no, he's at the kid. Oh, you didn't see it.
No.
You didn't see the end. So at the kissing booth.
Do they end up?
The gay guy is blindfolded. He's like, he volunteers to be kissed.
Okay.
By random people.
Is this the gay guy with the chain?
The gay guy with the chain that professes his like feelings.
Yep.
And
I think I like him.
And
I don't know what that means.
And he's got the blindfolds on and this girl is really excited to kiss him. She walks up and she's like, I can't wait. But he's like, he's going through something. He like can't do it. He's like gearing himself up for something and you don't really know what, but he's like, he's not even paying attention to the girl in front of him. He's still got blindfolds on and he's like, I gotta do this. So he takes his blindfolds off. He walks straight to that guy and everyone's watching.
Oh like, no.
He walks up to the guy and they're just looking at each other and the guy holds up a kissing booth ticket
what?
To go kiss him. And then they just make out and everyone's like, yeah.
But it's so fucking cheesy.
It is really cheesy.
But I get it.
But for me, I was like, that feels earned.
Yeah.
More than anything else in this movie, that felt
100%,
earned.
100%. No, I totally get that. And I didn't see it, so I don't have the...
But it was
cool. I didn't get to truly appreciate that. But I do remember the scene on the beach where she's talking to him and he's just like, I don't know. I just think he's cute.
It's like, I mean, I think he's really
I don't
cute.
Know how to feel.
Yeah.
And then they're at that dance. Or something's he's happening.
Like, they're at the costume.
And the bro, he's like, he's about to talk to the dude. Yeah. And then the bros come up. He's like, no, I don't. I'm not gay. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never even met
like,
a dude.
But there's fucking nuance in his performance. And
right,
I'm like, God
right,
damn.
Right. Okay.
Like, there's personality.
But it's because
there.
He was the only one with any real stakes.
For real.
You know, like, that's the only actual
I mean, you're not
controversial
yeah.
thing happening.
But, I mean.
Other than inviting some weird brown chick from Britain.
Oh
to Thanksgiving dinner. Why would you do that? What an idiot. You don't do that.
But yeah.
And then you're upset that she was making out with the dude in front of potentially millions of people. I don't even know. I mean, who watches a DDR dance competition? It seemed like with the production value that it was fucking global.
I think they blew all their budget
yeah,
on that
right.
scene, by the way.
Just so they could turn the lights off when he does something cool. What the fuck was happening? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm
whatever.
Sorry. I was watching the second one, and that was like the biggest standout moment for me.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry.
No,
I
it's great.
Like I had
no, you actually
it.
That something actually interesting happened in
yeah.
the whole fucking movie.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
but yeah. This is one thing that I have talked about. I can't wait for that to just be a commonplace thing, and no one sees that as interesting, because then we can move.
It wasn't the gay aspect. It was the
there was love. Yeah.
For
no, but for a lot of people, for me,
yeah.
I mean, for me, this is just me. I don't think I'm bigoted. I don't think I'm, but like to me that adds to it. You're like, oh,
yeah.
like, cause you see
it's the culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You see the pullback, like, you know, he's like, I don't want to do it in front of my friends cause they'll think
yeah.
I'm weird or, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
I think that actually gave,
yeah,
there were some stakes there. But
I can't wait
is for, you know, it's just like, oh, it's me and Ted. This is my boyfriend. He's gay. I'm gay. Whatever. You know, like,
yeah.
it's just like normal. There's
mm-hmm.
no gay. It's like,
yeah.
this is my partner. You
know
what
you
I mean?
Know, and that does happen.
Because then
movies.
We can finally start talking about being people again.
Yeah. they gave it some interesting like stakes to it where right. he's like, I never knew this about myself because I was
absolutely
hiding it.
And he was hiding it because he felt like people would think he was weird.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's
a million.
Kissing Booth.
Done. Thing. In the can.
Until the third one comes out.
We never talk about it again until the third one comes out. Okay. I'm comfortable
and
with that.
And if anyone out there is interested in a Discord night for when that movie comes out, we are down.
I feel with some of the recent hate we've gotten on YouTube and the views due to controversy, I feel like we're going to get somewhere.
I feel like we could.
Yeah. I feel like we could get a solid following of people. Yeah. Everyone likes a little back and forth.